Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is the Church Girl, and I want to take a moment out to invite you to tune in to my new show, True Confessions of the Soul, starting at 7 p.m. Sundays after church. True Confessions of the Soul is a new show dedicated to love, Christian dating, relationships, and great gospel music. Join us for inspiring conversations and, yes, those true confessions of the soul. Right here on the Love Zone USA.
Hello, 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 everyone. Thanks and welcome to True Confessions with Pastor Bob flying solo today. Church girl Laura's out exercising her ministry, but guess what? She's still saved. So I'm going to need all your help and support to help me get through today's show, but it's wonderful to be here. I missed the last Sunday or so. I was exercising my gift. But I know everyone's going to have a great time today, and I want you to reach out to all your friends and relatives and loved ones and tell them, hey, you know, chime in, check out the show just to see what we have to talk about and discuss. I'm sure we'll hear something that's going to truly enrich your heart and soul and help you with your everyday walk. But before we get into anything too deep, I just want to tell you what today's show is about. Today's show is about geared toward the guys, is whether or not you should marry her. That's right, whether or not you should marry her. And it's a two-part show. Next week it's going to be geared toward the ladies, and it's going to be whether you should marry him. You know, there are certain red flags that will come up in a relationship that will determine whether or not this is the person that was designed for you to spend the rest of your life with. So that being said, ladies, today's show is going to be geared toward the guys, but if you ever want to sit around and hear what guys say when they're at the gym or if they're at the locker room or at the club, not the club as much, because anything they say at the club, you can't really believe them after they've had a couple of Long Island iced teas. You know, they're liable to say anything at that point. You know, you the finest little thing I've ever seen in my life. Listen. That's just the alcohol talking. He really doesn't mean that. But we're going to go ahead and take our first break and let you listen to some great gospel music and some wonderful old school. And we're going to come back and we're going to dive into this subject. The subject again is men, should you marry her? This is Pastor Bob. Talk to you in a second.
Getting over you.
Just don't overwhelm.
I get this feeling deep inside. You just have this crazy way to get me going through my day. All I do is tell on you.
Depending on the song, it can take you back a few Sundays, or it can bring you forward to where you want to be. And I just thank God for all of the great old school and the gospel that, you know, that paved the way in order for a lot of us to be here today. I'm just grateful. But, you know, I just want to reiterate, today's show is about should you marry her? Show's geared toward guys that may be in a relationship, and you may be asking yourself that question, whether or not you should marry this person before you invest any more time. Today's show host is Pastor Bob, sitting in for church girl Laura, who's out exercising her ministry today, but listen, she's still saved. And we're going to get into today's topic, whether or not we should marry her. And one thing we have to consider and keep in mind is, you know, one of the biggest events that we will do in our life as men will be to get married. You know, you spend a lot of time and energy and finances, and you find that person and you start to play with that idea, toss it around a little bit. You know, hey, this person may be someone that I want to spend the rest of my life with. You may see things a certain kind of way, or you may share some, you know, some ideas and viewpoints on life, and, you know, they have that same kind of physical thing going on that you may like. They may have big legs or big other things, or they might have a warm smile, and you like the way they wear their hair. Those are the superficial things. You know, we have to address those things that will determine whether this relationship is going to be successful or not. And what we want to look at today's show is, because, you know, a lot of women, they walk around, men too, but this show is about, you know, men, should I marry this woman? But women will walk around and they'll wear this mask, you know, on their face. And during the whole courtship, or during the whole time that you're dating, and you really don't have an idea of who this person actually is, you know, until, you know, you said I do. And by that time, you know, you're already committed. You know, you've gotten your finances intertwined, and you may have, you know, a kid or kids on the way, and have gotten, you know, a car, and, you know, the family has met them, and they've been brought into the family, all those different things. And then you find out, this is not the person that you dated for 6 months or a year or 2 years. You don't know who that person is. A person can go from being this sweet, loving, caring, endearing person during the dating period and the engagement period to what my youngest daughter would call cray-cray. I mean, go crazy in little to no time. And you wonder to yourself, you know, who is this person? But you see, there are some people that can sit there and they can be just, I mean, an emotional wreck. And but they can contain that. They can contain that within, you know, suppress it. And until after the I do's have taken place, and then you come home from work and you're thinking, boy, you know, who in the world is this person? And I've always thought, but you know, that must take a lot of energy to disguise yourself, you know, in that way, you know, from the person that you care about and the person that, you know, sees your most vulnerable positions. But you know, both men and women get practice doing this every day at work. Depending on your job and what you do, you know, very few of us have coworkers who really know who we are. We have our work self, and we have in our car driving home self. You know, you've seen the road rage, and you know how people act sometimes behind the wheel of the car. And we have our supermarket self when we go in there to get our groceries. You know, sometimes we're polite. We'll allow somebody to go step in front of us in line if they have a few items. And then we have our home self. So there's a lot of practice in trying to disguise who we really are because, you know, society has, you know, certain norms, and we know certain behaviors that are acceptable, and we know certain behaviors that are not acceptable. So we know how to kind of walk that line and how to act appropriately at the appropriate times. So, you know, all that being said, you know, there's still ways that you can determine whether or not the person that you're seeing, whether there's some warning signs or some flags that, you know, that go up that says, hey, you know, there's some things going on here that we probably need to take a closer look at or determine whether this is a relationship that's worthy of spending any more time than necessary. Now, I just quick story. You know, those of you that have listened to myself at Church Girl talk and go back and forth from time to time know I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories from when I was a kid, stories from when as a young adult and as a mature gentleman now. I love telling stories. In fact, I had this workshop that I called Man of a Thousand Stories because I remember every story that was ever told to me. But quick story, real quick. I was dating this young lady, and this has been, you know, quite a few years ago. And there was just something that just wasn't right. I mean, there was just something that wasn't right about her personality, so I wouldn't allow myself to go where I normally would have gone during that time period in my life. I just said, no, you know, there's something here, not quite sure what it is, can't quite put my finger on it, so I just kind of started backing off a little bit. But what happened was, when I started backing off, she started pushing a little forward, and I've always been the kind of guy that I just never really cared for forward women. I always liked being the one to pursue. I didn't like, you know, women coming up to me and saying, you know, hey, I think you look so good, why don't we go out sometime? Or women coming up to me and giving me their phone number, because I'm looking for the camera. I'm thinking I'm being set up when that kind of stuff happens. But, you know, what would happen is she started kind of pushing forward when I would back up. And so now I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable. And at this point, the relationship was still real casual. We hadn't gotten involved, had no hand-holding or no kissing or going out or anything like that. And lo and behold, this just goes to show that you never know what's in someone else's head. That's why you have to be real careful when you're playing with someone's emotions. Lo and behold, I'm getting ready to get off from work, and there is this young lady, and she's in the parking lot, and has on her jogging suit, and she has her hair back in a ponytail, and she's wearing her Nikes. And if that wasn't intimidated enough, she had
6'6", overweight, very unattractive girlfriends with her, and they were all leaning up against my car in the parking lot at work. Now, fellas, let me tell you something. I don't care how tough you think you are or how bad you think you are. You can be Bruce Leroy James Brown. But if you got 7 overweight, unattractive women wearing jogging suits and leaning up against your car, don't go find out what's going on. Call the police right away. And I don't have to, for the sake of my own pride, I don't have to explain how I found out about that the hard way. But take my word for it. Just call security. Call the National Guard. Do not go out there because you'll never live it down. And believe me, it was because we had cameras on the parking lot. They played that footage over for months, I'm sure even years after I was gone. But there's some type of people that are predators or that may be sociopaths, and they can fool the average individual. You know, wearing that, you know, you don't know exactly who you're dealing with. And they come off as, you know, oh, all I do is read my Bible and attend Sunday school and feed the homeless. Now, this is the mask they wear during the dating period and the courtship, and because they're doing and saying those things that they think that you might like to hear, or doing things that they think that you might like to see in a person. And one thing you have to realize, when a woman is dating us, their dating isn't recreational. They're looking for a potential husband and father of children. So, you know, it may look like it's casual, but if you don't meet those criteria, they're really not going to be wasting their time with you. I mean, sometimes they go to lunch with you if they want to, you know, just eat on your dime or something like that. But if it's serious and you guys have gone out for a couple of times, she's thinking to herself, is this someone that I would be willing to father children with? So you got to keep that in mind, and so that you know what the game is, and so that you know what's at stake. During this time period, most women are on their best behavior. Now, you got some that are just plumb, you know, they can't contain themselves. They have zero self-control, and, you know, they just, you know, whatever they think about it, they do. But I'm not talking about those, because you can spot those a mile away. Your mama, you know, you take them to meet your mama, and as soon as they go to the bathroom, your mama says, "Boy, if you don't get that joke out of him." I've heard that from my mama a couple of times, God bless her soul. But because those moms will spot them. But with us, we still have to look, and I'm not saying that, you know, you have to examine everything they do and look at life through that prism. But, you know, you have to look at what they do just to make that determination of whether this is going to be someone that's going to be a life partner or not, or whether this is someone who's going to flatten all your tires while you're asleep at night, okay? So we gotta keep those things in mind. And that being said, we're going to have a great show today, and we're going to really dive deep and wide, and we're going to be swimming in the deep waters today, guys. And ladies, if you want to chime in and check everything out, that's fine. I don't want you changing your game up because of what you hear today, because this is for the guys. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a gospel music break and an old school music break. And boy, I tell you what, I really do love True Confessions. It's a great show, and we have the best listening audience out there, and there's nothing that I enjoy more than sharing my seeds of wisdom and knowledge that I have picked up in my travels with each and every one of you. Talk to you after the break.
felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, died to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary. Don't be angry if I wash your feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night it found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to pour my praise on him like all. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. My head, you are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Did you miss me? Because I really did miss you guys. And just for those that are just chiming in, we're talking today about whether you should marry her. Show's geared toward guys that may be in contemplation of marriage or taking the relationship to the next level. You have Pastor Bob flying solo today. Church girl Laura, she decided that she would be exercising her ministries. That's right. She's still saved. And she misses each and every one of you. And she values your time, that you would take it out of your schedule just to spend a little time listening to us, hearing our opinions, and chiming in. And we're talking, once again, about whether or not, you know, guys, you should marry her. And just one red flag, and I'm going to give a little caveat before I go into this a little bit. You know, I'm an ordained minister, pastored a church for a number of years, and Christian, baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. I haven't spoken any tongues lately, but it has happened. And that being said, I don't believe that sex should take place outside the contract of marriage, both legally and spiritually. And but I understand, you know, I'm not unrealistic, and I understand that, you know, folks out there, you know, having sex any which way they can. And you know, I'm not here to judge anyone. I've had my issues when I was younger before I came into knowledge. So that, you know, far be it for me to judge any of you. You know, only God judges. That being said, we when we research our information for the shows that we're producing, some of the information is from a spiritual nature and some of it's from a secular nature. Because we're walking into this world and walk around in this world, and we have to know that we deal with, we come in contact with all types of people at all different levels and stages in their lives. So that being said, I acknowledge that, you know, individuals out there are, yeah, you know, we got a whole culture of individuals that are having sex outside of marriage. I, for one, I don't subscribe to that school of thought, but I don't live in one of those bubbles, and look at the world from the inside of them. I know what's going on out there. And that being said, all of my advice is tempered with individuals who are abstaining, but looking to get into a committed relationship. Now I realize that's you know the rhythm goes on. And you know, even though you still may be looking to abstain until after marriage, you know, things happen. And so, you know, we're human. I'm not making excuses, but I understand that we're human, and to be human is to have certain characteristics. And that's as far as I'm going to get into that right now, because one of the other red flags, and I said a whole lot just to say this, one of those red flags is whether or not you're sexually compatible. Now, I understand that, you know, how do you know that whether or not you're sexually compatible if you're abstaining from sex? Now, you know, not putting too much of my own, you know, stuff out there. You know, if I'm seeing someone, if I'm dating someone, you can find out, you know, how they feel about it. You're not going to truly know until after you've gotten married or involved and you guys are actually having sex before you know exactly how that individual feels about sex. But you, for the sake of this study is saying that you guys have to have some sort of compatibility. And when I say compatibility, you know, if you got one person that wants to do this all the time and you have another person that only wants to do it, you know, a few times a year, that's a problem. You know, that's a real problem. Now, if you got two people that only want to do it a couple of times a year, then hey, you know, there are other things to fill your day with or your week with or your nights with. But if you got a person who wants to do it, you know, three or four times a week, and you got another person that wants to do it maybe once a week or maybe seven or eight times a week, you know, people say that sex doesn't really matter that much, but it matters if you're not on the same page, if you're not on the same wavelength. It doesn't matter that much if you're on the same page. If I'm married to someone and we have sex once a year by agreement, and that's all we want to do it is once a year, then sex doesn't matter that much.
if I'm married to someone and we have sex 5 nights a week, sex doesn't matter that much because we're both on the same page and we know we do it when we want to do it. But if I'm married to someone and they want to make love 5 times a week and I only want to make love once a month, that's a problem. I mean, that's a problem. Because what happens is you start to feel guilty. And I'm not even going to introduce, you know, somebody else coming into the relationship and because someone is lacking sex and so they start looking outside of me. I'm not even going to address it like that, because what happens is if you're not on the same wavelength sexually, it morphs off into all kind of other different problems and issues. I mean, you, after a while, you know, you don't like the way they chew their food. You know, after a while, you don't like the way they hang their clothes up in the closet. So that's a very important subject that we really have to be on the same page about is making sure that we're compatible sexually and that we have the same concepts and ideas about sex. Now, I know for the sake of this show, we're talking about individuals who you don't really know, and they mask who they really are. And yeah, granted, you know, from my school of thought, an individual who is masking that they have a real repressive personality when it comes to sex, you know, they'll tell you, oh, I want to have it 10 times a day. When that can be the furthest thing from the truth. And but, you know, that's wherein you got to know that there are other things that would determine whether or not this individual's being honest with you. Because, see, little things matter to me. And I feel that if a person will be deceptive about something small, they'll be deceptive about some. And see, it's the small things that we tend to let slip out that really show who we are, than more so the larger things. Because the larger things are easier to manage. The larger things are easier to manage than the little things, the little smaller things. And, you know, I don't have any examples off the top of my head. But, you know, this is going to sound silly. But if a person says, you know, oh, well, you know, I only put premium gas in my car. And I'm thinking, wow, that's impressive. Premium gas in the car. All I do is put, you know, regular leaded in my car. And, but see, what happens is in the process of time, if they're not being honest about that statement, you know, I will see that. That we go to a gas station and see, because that's such a small, you know, non-truth, you know, you tend to forget about that stuff. You know, you forget about it and you say, well, you know, you go and you put some gas in your car, and next thing I know, you got the regular unleaded, you know, whole sticking some gas in your car and you're paying, you know, 75 cents less a gallon. And I would never, because I'm a gentleman, I would never mention that. I would never say, you know something, you know, you told me you only put premium in there and, you know, you get all this great gas. I wouldn't do that. But I would make a note of it. I'd make a mental note of it because I'm thinking, why would an individual, you know, be dishonest about something that was so minute, something they really didn't have to be dishonest about. But they chose to go there anyway. That would be a signal to me that there might be something else going on. Like I said earlier, it's easier to maintain the large, glaring lies, you know, like I graduated, you know, sooner come later from Harvard. Notice I said sooner come later. I graduated from Harvard. And so you can ask them, you know, a year from now where they graduated, and they'll remember that lie. They remember I told them that I graduated from Harvard because that's a big one, and that's something that you can you know, you can keep your arms around. But if it's something like, well, you know something, I only put premium gasoline in my car. That's something you really don't think about that much. And, you know, later on you say, hey, you know, where do you get your gas from? Oh, I went down and I got my gas from, you know, the 7-Eleven or the QT or the racetrack. They have regular unleaded at at this price per gallon, the best price in town. And I'm thinking, well, if you just put premium in your car, how would you know about that? And like I said, I just make a mental note of it, you know. So I would just say to all the fellows out there, you know, start looking at the little details, the little things, and eventually they start to add up. And ladies, if you're listening to this, don't change your game. Okay, I'm not suggesting that you change your game, because you know us guys, we need an edge anyway. So, but listen, I'm just trying to keep it real. You know, flying solo, Pastor Bob. You know, Church Girl Laura's not here with me today, so I'm gonna need all of the patience that you can muster up for me. But I feel like listening to some music. How about you? I don't have a particular selection, but I want some gospel. I want some old school. I want everything but opera. How about that? Opera you can have, but we're going to take a quick break for some soothing and soul-searching gospel music, and we'll be right back on True Confessions with Pastor Bob.
Don't know about y'all, but I think he could do it again.
You see me smiling. I know you think that I should give up, but giving up is not an option. I know you think I'm crazy, 'cause I believe he'll save me. I'm not worried no more, 'cause I know what he did before. Yeah.
I'm not afraid.
he did it before, please believe he can do it again.
And we're back. Didn't you enjoy that? And Pastor Bob flying solo today and loving every second of it. Church Girl Laura decided that she would go ahead and exercise her ministry, but we miss her and we love her. So everybody give her a shout out on Facebook and let her know that you missed her and that you can't wait to hear her next show. Today's topic is whether or not you should marry her. That's right, guys, whether or not you should marry her. You know, little subtle signs that determine whether or not your relationship with this individual is going to be successful or not, or whether she's just pulling the wool over your eyes, as they say. And just keeping it real, I know we've all heard the term that opposites attract, and that might be initially true, but just like an old fake gold chain, in the process of time, how that gold starts to flick away and starts to fall off, and now you got part chain that's gold and part of it that's kind of tarnished looking. And what I found out is when you and another individual, whether you all were, you know, complete opposites, eventually in the process of time, you guys are going to get on each other's nerves to the 10th degree. All day, every day, and twice on Sunday. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. See, what happens is, she may think that it's cute now that you talk with your mouth full of food and that you blow your nose on your shirt sleeve. Oh, come on now. So it's amazing. You know, you see kids do that, but you got some grown people that still do that, will blow their nose on their shirt sleeve. Or that you use the bathroom, use the toilet, and you still have the door wide open. Or you return the car on empty, and it's, like I said, it's fine now, but tell you that eventually those type things, if you are completely polar opposite, she will grow to hate you. I mean, she don't want to see you in the morning when you get up, when you leave going out the door, going to work. Well, that's probably the best time. Is what you see you leaving going to work, or when you're coming home in the afternoon. So you have to make sure that you two share similar things in common. And I mean, as far as whether or not you're church-minded people, you know, it's important. You know, a lot of times people, individuals dating, they don't give the whole church thing the kind of seriousness that it really deserves. And you kind of really need to kind of talk those things out. You know, where are you going to go to church? If you're going to go to church. But you know, nothing can be worse than, you know, you're a person who may be transitioning and you haven't gone to church in a while, but, you know, you're not mad at church. Just for whatever reason, you hadn't been to church in a while. And you hook up with someone and they don't go to church at all, and there you are, you're not going to church now, so it's not an issue. But then what happens is, in the process of time, you know that fire inside starts to rekindle, and you want to, hey, I missed assembling together people in church, and I want to start by going to church. And you have someone who, you know, they were never there, so they can't share that with you. And I'm telling you, you'd be surprised just how many individuals have a lot of problems as a result of the church faith. And because a lot of people will say, you know, hey, I can believe in God and not go to church. And that's true. You know, the two don't necessarily have to go together. You can believe in God and not necessarily go to church. But if you are a person who believes in God and believes that God wants us to go to church and to assemble ourselves with like-minded believers, that's going to cause a problem. So that's something that you really, really need to look at. And, you know, one, in my younger years, I thought that it wasn't that big a deal, and it turned out to be a big deal.
that you two believe in the same things. And I'm gonna hang out in the realm of church and religion here for a little bit. But you know, you have to make sure that you two believe the same things. You have the same moral compass. If you believe that abortion on demand is wrong, and your spouse believes that abortion under any circumstances is wrong. I hope I said that right. If you believe that abortion at any stage of the pregnancy is cool, and you're a person who believes that abortion at any time isn't cool under any circumstances isn't cool, then I'm telling you, you two shouldn't be together. And for a host of reasons, but you just have a different opinion about life and the importance of life and the role that, individuals, the unborn, would play in God's kingdom. And so this war has been waged, in the culture war has been waged over this issue for decades now. And the divide has just gotten wider. It hadn't gotten any closer. In fact, you're finding some in Christendom who are a lot more liberal on their views about abortion. And this show isn't about abortion. We're not talking about that. We're talking about whether or not you should marry her. But I just wanted to stress the importance of making sure that you're on the same page with a lot of these moral compass questions. So I'll leave that and then venture into the realm of politics. Make sure that you share the same views and ideas as it relates to politics. Now, I just said religion a second ago, and now I'm talking about politics. And those subjects are generally the third rail that you really have to stay away from in polite company. But what I'm saying is, if you're looking at spending the rest of your life and investing all of your emotions into someone, into an individual, then you need to talk about these things. And you will be surprised people's thoughts and opinions if you approach it as if it's a question and not being judgmental, then they will tell you exactly how they feel. But if you approach it judgmental, they're going to listen at your tone, and they're going to get an idea of what you want to hear, and they will tell you exactly what you want to hear. And the reason that women will do this is because women are project-oriented. They feel like, okay, I can go ahead and I can be a little deceptive now and not show him exactly how I feel, but I can bring him around. I'll have him thinking the way I think, eating the way I eat, drinking the way I drink, going to the gym and doing exercises that I do. They feel that they can fix you, that they can make you over and mold you and shape you into the image of what they think that you should be. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because some men need to be shaped and molded and fashioned into something more presentable. But if you're comfortable in your own skin and where you're at, the last thing you want is for someone to try and dictate how you should think, how you should respond, how you should act under certain circumstances. Especially, I'm a grown man. And I've already formed, years and years of opinions on certain subjects. Now, I will hear you out, and I will give you platform or the stage or the podium in my life so that, to hear what you got to say. But you're going to have to, if you believe in what you're saying, you're going to have to prove it to me, and you're going to have to demonstrate it to me that all my years I had it wrong. But I'm not one of the type of individuals who were just like, I don't want to hear that, just shut you down. No, I want to hear what you have to say about it, because by listening to what you have to say, I'm learning something. And if you strongly believe in what you're saying and you're passionate about it, you know, yeah, come on, let's go with it. But it's not going to be easy. I'm not just going to, you know, just roll over and say, oh, well, you know, something, I changed my mind. I suddenly believe in abortion. No, you know, you're going to have to prove to me in no uncertain terms that, you know, God didn't create and design all life, and only he determines when that life is going to end. And, you know, that won't be an easy job, but, you know, hey, you know, tougher things have been done. I've heard things and I've changed my mind about things that I thought I felt strongly about. But that one, I think I'm pretty much cut and dry on that. So you know, just to, you know, reiterate, you know, opposites, they may seem attractive at first, but, you know, eventually, yeah, oh, wow, I tell you what, it would really get on your nerves after a while. So, you know, you have to make sure that you guys have those things in common that will ensure that there's not that much conflict that's going to take place. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that you're going to agree 100% on everything you do and every place you go. No, that would be absolutely, you know, ridiculous. You're two separate individuals. You grew up in two separate households, hopefully, with two different sets of parents. So, you know, quite naturally, you're not going to see everything eye to eye. But you better make sure that the major things that you see, that you guys are looking out the same telescope, that you're drinking out of the same straw. And that being said, we're going to take another gospel music break. And I'll be back shortly. Pastor Bob sitting in. Church girl Laura, don't we miss her, you all? But we'll be back in a flash, and we'll pick up where we left off.
Sometimes you have to speak victory. How many people encouraged tonight?
You miss me, because I surely did miss you. Pastor Bob sitting in for church girl Laura. She's exercising her ministry today. But guess what? She's still saved, and she's missing us. So I want everyone to reach out to her and let her know how much you missed her on Facebook. Let me tell you something. Nothing makes her day more than for those that love her and care about her to say, hey, you know, we're there for you. We're going to be here for the long haul, and we miss you, and we can't wait to hear you on your next show. So we're having a great time today. I'm having a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys are having a lot of fun as well. I'm enjoying today's show, and I'm out here flying solo, but it's okay because I can feel your energy out there. Fellas, are you feeling me? Ladies, like I said, you know, I may come off as a little harsh today, but you will be able to exact revenge next week when the subject is whether or not I should marry he. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to put it out there. And, you know, the men may put a hit out on me after I put all of their trade secrets out there and let everybody know, let all the ladies know the kind of games they play. Because, listen, let me tell you something. I got daughters out there that's trying to navigate this world of lies that, you know, some guys that all they want to do, you know the kind I'm talking about, all they want to do is pay your rent. No, they ain't interested in paying no rent. They want to fry the bacon. They want you to go out there. They want you to make the money, bring them the bacon, and then they want you to fry it. The only thing they want to do is chew it and swallow it. So, but I'm going to put them out there, and I'm going to give you the red flags for the men to just, I mean, like I said, take off your pumps. It ain't time to look cute anymore. Take off those pumps and start running. Run for your life. And I'm going to give you all the warning signs. And, you know, like I said, as a father with daughters, this is exactly what I would tell them. But back to you guys. Okay, I'm sorry, fellas. I had to stray a little bit just so that the ladies wouldn't get too discouraged and think I was beating them up. But, fellas, let me tell you something. If you're involved a young lady, and that relationship is like an emotional roller coaster. I mean, you just talked to her this morning, and she was great. Everything was fine. The sun was shining. There was birds singing outside the window. And you call on your lunch break, and all hell has broken loose. You don't even know if this is the same person that you're talking to. And it's all in the mood. The mood just shifted. And you're wondering, what's going on? And, you know, did the house break down? Did you get in a car accident? No, not nothing, just the mood. And see, when you have those drastic roller coaster in and out, all the way up, all the way down, mood swings, fellas, if it's not too late, get your hat. It's time to catch the first greyhound smoking in another direction. Because this could be the signs of a more serious mental issue. You know, individual might have bipolar disorder, massive depression. All of those kind of things can be not necessarily a precursor to something more serious, because those other things are serious, but they can be symptoms of those serious mental illnesses. And what we have to do is we have to make that determination of whether this is something clinical or whether it's something physical. Because, you know, yeah, I know women get a bad rep, but, you know, certain times of the month, you know, we can they can become, you know, kind of hormonal, and they're not as willing to compromise as other times, and they're a little emotional. And so, but that's just, you know, something physical that happens anyway. But what I'm talking about is something that's, you know, that happens, that comes out of nowhere, and there are no physical contributors to this other than chemical imbalance that may take place inside of the brain.
Now, fellas, unless you're a clinical psychiatrist, brothers, you can't fix this. I had this friend of mine, and he was dating this young lady. And believe me when I say this, fellas, I know crazy. And listen, I really shouldn't throw around the term crazy because it's really insensitive to call someone crazy. So I'm going to stop using that. But this person who he was dating had some mental health issues. And let me reiterate, I know mental health issues. And somewhere south of South Florida, you know, is where he lived at. And but finally, you know, after the 10th flat tire, the third broken windshield, you know, all of his Stacy Adams, you know, set on fire. Finally, I said, you know, my goodness, you know, friend, you know, I won't say his name, but my goodness, friend, you know, why would you put up with this? I mean, who would put themselves through that? And listen, he had a reasonably good job, and you know, he's an all right looking guy. You know, we worked that together, and you know, and ladies liked him. And but he was faithful to her. I mean, the strangest thing. And so I asked him. I said, listen, you know, why would you put yourself through that? And you're never going to believe what he asked me. Not what he told me. You're never going to believe what he asked me. And he said, have you ever had bipolar sex? That's right. You heard me right. He said, this grown man now, educated, worked every day, had a really decent job, nice family guy, you know. This guy asked me if I had ever had bipolar sex. And I told him, you know, I said, no, and I've never had sex with a sleeping grizzly bear either, but what's your point? And he went on to say that there was something exciting about having sex with someone and you didn't even know if you were going to be able to go to work the next morning or not. Have you ever heard anything so asinine in your life? And he went on to say, you know, that, you know, there's just something that's so exciting about the relationship, you know, never being able to anticipate, you know, what was going to be done or what was going to be said. Now, see, he lived for that, and he got a certain kind of sick joy out of that. But what's going to happen is because of her track record and because of this erratic behavior, you know, I hate to put it out there like that, but she's going to stab him in his neck one night while he's asleep and won't serve a day in prison for it. You know, they'll you know, family will come out of the woodwork and say, oh, she's been acting crazy for the last 25 years, but we never knew she would have did that. And then we'll be at his wake, and they'll be singing Sweet Low, and all for some bipolar sex. Listen, men, it's never a good idea to stay in an unhealthy relationship for good sex. But, you know, I have heard this. I've heard guys say this for years. You know, they put up with this kind of, you know, erratic behavior, you know, whether it's something behavior, whether the person is acting some kind of mental episode, or whether the person is just plain mean, or whether the person is just jealous. And if you look at someone the wrong way, or if you look at someone too long, they start, you know, acting irrational and crazy and wanting to fight and that kind of thing. Whether all those things, listen, it's never a good idea to stay in a relationship, an unhealthy relationship, because of sex. Okay. A couple of different problems. Number one, whenever a person is emotionally connected with you, and that's what happens when we have an intimate sexual relationship with someone, when you couple that with that emotional connection and erratic, unstable, drama-filled behavior, that's a recipe for a time bomb, okay? And it's just a matter of time, just a matter of time before somebody going to get hurt, okay? Like they say in the hood, they're shooting. And so what we have to do is we find ourselves in an unhealthy relationship wherein we got an individual that, you know, that's on this emotional roller coaster, going up 1 minute, going down 1 minute. You know, it's time to get out of there. And like my grandmother used to say, you know, when you got your hand in the lion's mouth, you got to take it out easy. I mean, you can't just snatch it out. And the same thing when you're in an unhealthy relationship, and this applies to both men and women. When you're in an unhealthy relationship, you know, somebody's acting crazy, you know, yeah, you got to get out of there as quick as possible. It's not always, you know, that simple to just, you know, jump and run, especially when they're standing right in front of you. And sometimes you have to just kind of, you know, outsmart them to get out of that situation so that you live to breathe another day. So that being said, we're going to go ahead and take us another break, and but we're starting to wind things down a little bit. You know, Pastor Bob's has to really monitor his time because he can get long-winded, as some of you all might guess, as some of you might know. But we're going to take another gospel music break, old school break, and we're going to pray that Church Girl is having a whole bunch of success in her ministry, and we'll be back shortly with Pastor Bob and True Confessions.
I never imagined I'd feel this way. Oh.
Pastor Bob, sitting in for Church Girl Laura, who we miss so much, but she'll be back here in her host chair for our next show. And today's topic is, should you marry her? And I think we're having a pretty good time. And remember to reach out to us on Facebook and just let me know how much you enjoyed the show. And I'll let you know right now, I'm enjoying this immensely. I love today's show and the topic. And it's about, fellas, whether or not you should go ahead and just and stick with this relationship with this individual, whether you should marry her, or whether you need to put on your Nikes and get out of Dodge as quick and as fast as possible. And ladies, part two of this show, should you marry him, will be our topic for our next show. And we're looking forward to sharing that with you and just kind of putting the guys out there. We're kind of putting you out there today, ladies. But next show, we're going to really put the guys out there. And I'm going to I may get kicked out of the club after the next week's show airs. Because, I'm not supposed to put this out there. But, hey, I'm sorry. I love our listening audience. I love our ladies out there. And I got to let you know, that you can't be falling for the okey-doke. I got too many daughters out there that's looking for good men. And so you don't need to be wasting your time on these frogs. You need someone who will be a great potential father of your kids. If you have kids, someone that you'd be willing to bring in to your home and help you raise those kids. So next week's show. Just to recap, we're going over the different things and the warning signs and things that we should look for in a relationship to determine whether or not this is something that will pass the test of time or something that we should, get on the first greyhound out of town. And we've gone over those red flags. And another red flag we should look for is what I call the bomb. And this is, every time, you two get together, there's always some kind of drama, some kind of conflict. I mean, you can't go a week without some kind of major catastrophe. I mean, life-altering, life-changing nonsense, And I'm not saying that to say that relationships won't go through some things and that you don't have to work at the relationship, but it shouldn't be an uphill struggle constantly, okay? So that, that's definitely a warning sign if there's always something going on. There's always something that needs to be addressed right then. Because some people are just high conflict people. They just tend to flourish and they bloom in that high octane drama filled environment. I mean, they feel alive. And they feel like they're invincible, and they can't be touched. And but this is toxic for any relationship. And as I mentioned in the last break, you don't want to hang around in this atmosphere for sex. And I know people that will. They'll just hang in there because the sex is great, and they allow them to have sex any time they want to, but the downside of that is, let me tell you, it's like walking around with a backpack full of bricks. It is so laborsome, and you don't realize how laborsome it is until you finally wake up, take off that backpack, and you can go jogging. And you've never felt so light in your life, and you think, boy, how in the world did I endure that for as long as I did? If you find yourself having the same argument over and over and over and over again, then there's a problem. There's a problem. If you find that you're always the blame for everything wrong that goes on, everything right, you don't hear about that, but everything wrong that goes on, if you find that you're the person that's on the receiving end of that hostility and the blame, then, yeah, it's time to start looking at other different means of carrying on the rest of your life, see, because, life is too short.
life is too short, and life has enough stress in and of itself. In an ideal relationship, we should be able to come together and make each other richer as a result of having been involved with one another. There shouldn't be a deficit. If I come to you and my bucket is full, and you should be able to pour what you have into me, and mine overflows. Mine should overflow, and vice versa. But if you never have anything to pour into me but something negative, something painful, something hostile, you know, who wants to walk around like that? You know, it's best to just go head on. I feel. Because I've been in all different kinds of relationships. I've been in relationships, and that's not saying that I've been around a whole bunch, but I've been around enough to know that I know a good relationship from a bad relationship. I've been in great relationships where I was involved with individuals who they actually made you feel better about yourself when you're in their presence. And I've been in relationships with individuals that made you feel like, you know, boy, how did God ever let you out of hell? And I don't have to tell you which one of those relationships that I grew from and I learned the most from. And yeah, you know, you learn something from every relationship, but you know, you grow from the relationships where they're pouring positive things into your mind and your heart and your soul. And at the end of the day, you know, that's what matters. That's what matters, is that we can be healthy, strong, focused individuals with little to no baggage to carry around at all. I know we're not perfect. We had things that we carried over from our childhood, from our teen years to our young adult years. And hopefully in the process of time, as we grow older and as we learn more about relationships and the people that, you know, we encounter in our everyday walk, that backpack gets lighter and lighter, and then eventually we can go ahead and we can take that thing off. And that is so liberating. That is absolutely so liberating. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a final break, and we're going to go ahead and wrap things up after that. And I'm just enjoying this subject so much, and I hope you are too. And remember to reach out to us on Facebook. And, boy, I feel like some old school gospel music. Some Shirley Caesar, some Mahalia Jackson, some Alabama Blind Boys. Y'all, my audience is too young. You guys don't know about that, do you? But listen, I know about it. And maybe not this topic, but next show I'm going to hook you up with some old school gospel. Coming back to you shortly, Pastor Bob. True Confessions.
I'm called and I'm chosen, forgiven and redeemed. I am justified and qualified. I am loved by the King. My past is behind me. It's a testimony now of someone who was so lost, but now I have been found. And only Jesus did it. Only Jesus did it. Only Jesus did it. Only Jesus did it. He loves everybody, even those who others hate. He's near to the brokenhearted, and he cares about their pain. He wants us to be better, but he accepts to those who ask and perfects us with his love. And only
solo this show. Church girl Laura is out exercising her ministry today, but don't we miss her? Oh, church girl, just shout out to you. Hope you're having a great time. I know you're saving souls and leading people to the Lord, and there's no greater work than that. Only thing that's almost as great as that is sitting here and hosting the show for some of the best listening audience in the world, in all of internet and radio tone. I really believe that. Now, today's show, we're going to recap, is whether or not he should marry her. And we've been talking about,
you know, the different signs that will indicate whether or not this is a relationship that you need to invest any more time and finances in, or whether you need to get on the first Greyhound or Megabus or Trailways or moped out of town. You know, either way, yeah, it's time to start doing something a little differently. And, you know, everyone at the end of the day wants to be in a healthy, productive, long-term relationship. I'm a guy and I don't meet many guys that don't want that. You know, some may want to put it off a little bit, but that's always the goal, is to find someone that you care about, that cares about you, and that you can share your innermost, you know, concerns about life, and that you can be completely vulnerable with and not have to worry about being judged. You know, I don't care how tough that guy is. He wants that. You know, every guy wants that. So, ladies, keep that, you know, keep that in mind. And you want a guy who's sensitive enough to admit that. All right, but back to you guys. We have to be extremely, extremely cautious about possessive women. Women who, I mean, just jealous of any and everything. I mean, they're jealous of your mama. They're jealous of your daughters. They're jealous of your cousin. Why are you hugging your cousin so tight? What's going on? I mean, I've heard it all. But yeah, just a quick story. I was, this is years ago, back in the 80s, I was had gone out. This is maybe my second date with this one young lady. And I went to get some gas to put in the car. And I saw this this elderly white lady, and she was at the gas pump, and she was just looking at the pump and at the hoses. And so I said, "Ma'am, is everything okay?" And she said, "Well, you know, I need to put some gas in my car, and I don't know how to put any gas in my car." And I said, "Oh, I'll put the gas in for you." And like, lady, she was probably in her 80s. And so while I'm pumping the gas in the car, she explained that her husband had just died a few weeks ago. They had the funeral. And this is the first time that she'd ever had the occasion to put the gas in the car, because her husband had always put the gas in the car. And now she had driven the car and there's no gas, and she had to figure out how to put the gas in there. And so she's explaining this story to me. Now, the young lady that I was on the date with, she gets out. She sees me talking to this 80-something-year-old lady, and at the time I may have been about 25, 26 years old. She gets out of the car. She comes back there, and she's introduces herself to her lady. She says, "Hey, how are you?" And the lady says, "Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, your husband was so nice." And she wasn't married. You know, she was just being polite and assuming that, you know, we were married. She said, "Your husband was so nice, pumped my gas and everything." And she went on to explain that, you know, her husband had died, and it was the first occasion to ever pump gas or use a gas pump, that kind of thing. And this girl told this 80-something-year-old lady, "Why would you go to a gas station knowing that you couldn't pump the gas? Were you looking for some young black man to pump your gas for you?" I was mortified. And this lady says, she could get it just as well as she could take it. She said, "Listen, honey, I don't want your man. You know, I was married for 50 years. You should be so fortunate." And I finished pumping the gas, and I got in the car, and she starts going off on me for pumping this lady's gas. So, guys, yeah, I say that to say this. If you see any inclination that this person that you're seeing, that you're dating, has one of those possessive, jealous, threatening type personality, that, you know, anyone that you see and you look at too long, or a coworker that you may mention, and then a whole federal case and indictment comes down as a result of that, then yeah, you need to break that off and get out of that relationship as quick as possible. Because what happens is, if a person can't contain themselves to that level when you're just dating, can you imagine how miserable life is going to be after you're married. You see, because most people don't grow out of that. That's something that, you know, that's been inbred in them for a long time. Maybe their father, they saw things in their father and father's relationship with their mother that just tainted, you know, their whole view about the interaction between the person who they're interested in and opposite sex. So, you know, that being said, you know, yeah, you know, that's something that you really, really want to visit. But, you know, just to recap a little bit, you know, like I said earlier, you know, the most important thing that any of us can do is to choose a spouse. No one chooses a spouse to for some quick exercise. You know, it's something that you do for hopefully for the rest of your life until to death do one of you part. I know that's not always the reality in our society, but those are the goals. You know, even in spite of this era of prenups and all these different contracts so that if things don't work out, people kind of walk away with what they got. Even in that era, everyone, if they were honest with themselves, would say they're looking for a healthy long-term relationship. And that's my hope and my prayer for you today, is that you find someone that you share similar values, similar outlooks on life, you know, conversations about financing and religion and politics. Those things are not off the board when you're looking at a spouse. Those are, believe me, those are things that you want to address. Whether or not that you all want to have children, how many children you want to have. You don't put those things off. Those are something you want to address now. The level of frequency with sex. You know, how often do you think you might have? And I know that might change, and we're not always going to be at the same place at the same time when it comes to sex. But, you know, life is an ebb and flow. It's constantly going through something and constantly coming out of something. And God ensures that there's more, you know, coming out than there is going through when he puts his seal on our relationship. But, you know, I want to thank each and every one of you. I had a great time today, and hopefully you did too. And, you know, we miss Church Girl Laura here at True Confessions. And I want to say a final prayer before we go ahead and end today's show, and because it's my hope and desire that you heard something that will help you in your everyday walk with your relationships. You know, sometimes it's a harsh reality, but at some points and times in a relationship, it's time to say goodbye and just leave before, you know, anyone else gets hurt or before, you know, any more damage emotionally or physically is done. You know, we have to say, hey, you know, something, you know, we tried, this didn't work out. You know, I wish you the best, and go on our own separate ways. So, you know, that being said, I would that each and every one of you would find that special person in your life. And Father God, I want to thank you for being so merciful and so full of grace and looking down on us in our time of need. You know what each and everyone who has heard my words today, what they seek and what they're looking for and what they need in their life in order to be made whole and complete. And I ask you if you would meet them at their point of need. You know, we sometimes, most of the times, don't know the things we should pray for. We pray for things that are so trivial and so insignificant. But, you know, we have the Holy Spirit who can get through all that selfishness in our prayers and look down and meet us at our point of need. So we want to ask you to continue to protect, put your hedge of protection around us. We ask all these things in your Son Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.